So now for the next 15 minutes, it will be a gospel presentation. Before we do so, we could pray. Our God and Father, we pray that you will bless your word. We pray for the arrow of conviction in the heart and conscience of one who is stranger to your grace. We pray, Father, there would be joy in heaven for one soul that repents. Father, we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, we presented Christ to the Father. This afternoon, Christ was presented to the Christians. And right now, we'll try to present Christ to the sinners. This is the gospel. It's a good news. And if there is one thing that we all have in common, is that we are all sinners. And the good news is that Christ is a savior of sinners. He came into this world to save sinners. And a couple of weeks ago, we had a corn boil and we invited people to come. And that morning, I was before the Lord because it was a little presentation of the gospel after supper. And a busy day, and I tried to collect my thoughts to have a presentation, and it did not come. So as the day continued, things had to be prepared. So a bit busy, so came the hour and people were coming. And so a guy came to me. With tattoos everywhere, even around the collar here, like a tough guy. He said to me, he took away his cross. I said, could you bless it? I said, oh. So my wife is beside me and we're there. Oh, my. I said, listen, we'll talk about that later. We're busy there preparing the tables, everything. So then, as the afternoon continues, I said, okay, so the food is served, and then, to bless the cross. What about the blessing that come from the cross? Oh, I said, that's where we will dwell. So, I had a few thoughts in connection with the cross of the Lord Jesus. You know, when Paul went to Corinth, he said, you know, when I went among you, there were two things that occupied my mind. It was Christ and Christ crucified. The person of Christ and his work. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 27. We're going to start at verse 29. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. That was the treatment that the Lord Jesus received from the soldiers. You know, they put a crown of thorns on his head. The only person on earth who only had pure thoughts. He was not like you and me. He was very different from the Son of God. It must have hurt him to have that crown of thorn on his head. Verse 39, while the Lord crucified him. And then it is said that, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross. Another group of people there, the people that are passing by, mocking him. It must have been a sorrow for the Lord Jesus to see these people. People for whom he was sent to be a blessing. Passing by and just mocking him. In verse 41, Likewise also the chief priest mocking him with the scribes and the elders. Three groups, again, chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, responsible religious people who should have been guides for the people of Israel. And they say in verse 32, he save others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Oh, it must have been hard for the Lord Jesus to hear these words. But not only that. Next verse, verse 44. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. These two men, two criminals crucified beside him. And then they mock him. You know, I was thinking about a verse in Psalm 69 in connection with the atmosphere that transpired there at the cross. When the Lord Jesus experienced all that contradictions from the sinners. Psalm 69, I believe it's in verse 20. Reproach had broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, and I have found none. You know, the Lord Jesus was there on the cross. They had nailed his hands, the only hands that did only good things. They nailed his feet, the only person that walked in a perfect path. There he was. They spat on his face. They ridiculed him. And there are all those people around him, they're all mocking him. Reproach broken my heart. You know, Isaiah says in chapter 53 that he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Could it be that there is someone here today who has a broken heart that is experiencing disappointment in life? Well, the Lord went through that. Here we see receiving bad treatment from his creature that he came to bless. What a heaviness he experienced there at that point. But you know, we come now to the other part of the cross during the 3 hours of darkness. And I would like to turn to a verse in Psalm 88. It's in verse 6. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit in darkness in the deeps. You know, this is what happened during the 3 hours of darkness. The one who knew no sin, God made him sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Two types of suffering. The first part was from man. This is a manifestation of our own hearts. And the Lord suffered reproach, shame. But the other part, there was darkness over the old earth for 3 hours when the Lord Jesus bore my sins down the cross. What a Savior. What a wonderful Savior. You know, we think of the Lord Jesus, different glories about him, perfections, different traits of character. But what happened at that cross is so wonderful. You know, we talk about the two malefactors that were there. And if we could turn to Luke chapter 22. Something happened to one of the men there. And something can happen to you this afternoon. That's in Luke 22. It's the reference about the two malefactors. I believe it's in verse 39. You know, we read in the other gospel that the two malefactors were mocking the Lord there. But something happened here. Let's read in verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss." So what this man does at the beginning of the crucifixion is just having a bad attitude, mocking at the Lord Jesus. But at some point, looking at the Lord, listening to his words, looking at the crowd around him, the reactions, there's something that is going on in his soul. That's the work of God. He said to the other guy, "You know, we deserve to be here. We did wrong. But the Lord Jesus, this man had done nothing amiss." He recognized the innocency of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus could say, you know, to religious leaders, "Who among you will convince me of sin?" They could not find sin in him. He was without sin. He could not sin. It's beautiful what we read in verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." So this man called upon the name of the Lord at the last hour of his life. And he received from the Lord assurance that he would be in paradise with Jesus. You know, paradise is to be with Jesus. It's the person that makes the place beautiful. You know, that man here today is in paradise. It's not because of what he did, but it's because of those words of the Lord Jesus, "It is finished." You know, today, the Lord is knocking. And I heard the knock of the Lord about 50 years ago, about the same time as Bruce, when I was 17 years old. And that was the best choice I made in my life. Could be yours today. Come to Jesus. I brought a sign with me. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." You know, the Lord Jesus experienced great heaviness at the cross from the part of man, great sufferings. And also during the 3 hours of darkness, these are the sufferings that could save your soul this afternoon. He says to you that to come to him with your burdens, and he will give you rest. It's a promise. Come to Jesus. I have one more minute, I believe. Oh, my. I had on my heart to share maybe an encouragement for each one of us before I go. For those of us who are Christians. You know, the gospel meeting lasted 15 minutes. What about having a continuation of that meeting during the week? Maybe for 10 minutes. And the verse that I have in mind is A word from Paul to Timothy. Do the work of an evangelist. You know, we are encouraged in the scripture about keeping his word. Keeping about not being worried. Being strong in the grace and continue on. But Paul says in 2 Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. And to do the work of an evangelist is to talk about Jesus. One way I like to do it, where I live, I like to use these paddles and use it as a sandwich board. That's my way. Other people would give out tracts, sometimes in the mailbox. Other people would do it in many other ways. But it's a good thing, after receiving so much this weekend, to go home and to find a way to share that love of the Lord Jesus. Where we are receiving, the Lord wants us to share. Let's pray.